8:14, Chet Edwards joins us this morning at this unusual time. And good morning. How are you doing, Chet?
Scott, doing great. Sorry about the delay, but I co-chair the Army Caucus, and my former co-chair, Congressman John McHugh, is the new Secretary of the Army. And so we had an Army Caucus breakfast this morning welcoming him back to Capitol Hill.
Well, obviously, a historic vote taken over the weekend. Kind of like to get your take, your thoughts as you watched all this unfold.
Scott, I voted no on the bill. I voted no on the rule on the bill as I voted no in November. Not everything in the bill is bad, but I felt the bottom line was it was an overreach, trying to do too much at one time. And given our massive federal deficits and a $12.7 trillion national debt, adding $940 billion over the next decade in new programs was just something we could not afford. It was a very close vote. Even the morning of the vote, last Sunday morning as of 10 o'clock, they did not have the votes committed to pass the bill. But ultimately, it did pass, as you know, by a small margin. The bill is now in the Senate. The revisions of the bill, the reconciliation package that gets rid of some of the egregious things that were put in the Senate, like the Nebraska deal. That will be voted on sometime over the next several days in the Senate.
And the question remains now are your House leadership people going to ask the members of the House to stay? Because we're not exactly sure how long it's going to take the Senate to get their situation through. But is there an opportunity, is there a chance that y'all may be staying through the week?
Well, there could be that probability, but I'm hoping we get back home. I think it's time for members to get back home. I think Republicans and Democrats alike are ready to get back home to our districts for the next 2 weeks. But the leadership could keep the House in session. In terms of the process, Scott, the Senate, if they were to make one amendment to the reconciliation package, then the House would have to vote on it again. And let me clarify as clearly as I know how, if that is done, I intend to vote no on that reconciliation package in the House once again, just as I voted no on it on Sunday.
Greg Abbott, the Attorney General of Texas, has signed on with more than a dozen states in a lawsuit to try to stop this health care legislation from going in effect, basically because what they are saying is, from a constitutional standpoint, you cannot force people to buy health insurance or take that action. I'd like to get your comments on that.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm going to have to leave the constitutional challenges up to the lawyers of this country, and that is a decision that would ultimately be decided, as it should, by the Supreme Court.
Chet Edwards joining us from D.C. So your misgivings about voting for the health care bill had to do with you were bringing more debt onto the country at this time. So let's fast forward into the next time some piece of legislation comes up that has funding that would happen within the 17th Congressional District. Is Chet Edwards going to be uncomfortable about bringing in yet more debt, even though it would bring some sort of federal monies into your district?
Well, Scott, the fact is that's not the way the budget process works. If we're talking about congressionally sponsored projects that are called earmarks, there's a two-step budget process. The first step is the Congress agrees on how much will be spent on education, on transportation, on various areas. Once that is decided, the amount that's going to be spent is decided. When we get to the Appropriations Committee, on which I sit, we are making a decision of whether the Obama administration will make 100% of the decisions of where our tax dollars will go, or whether elected officials, Republicans and Democrats alike, can sit down with their community leaders, university leaders, such as those at A&M, and decide where or have influence on where some of our tax dollars go. I'm very proud of the projects that I've worked on for roads, Barron Road Exchange, the old Reliance Bridge and Bryan, that's going to keep school children from having to walk across a two-lane bridge going to middle school and high school with no sidewalks. The nearly $40 million plus funding we get for A&M each year, that research to help our nation's defense, support our troops and our veterans with better health care, those are all projects I'm very proud of. So I think it is a misnomer to suggest that those congressionally sponsored projects add to the deficit. The budget has already been decided. We're just, some of us believe that Congress and elected officials working with community leaders ought to have some voice, and that the Obama administration or any other administration should not have 100% of the decision-making power when it comes to spending. I think the real issue is how do we reduce the deficit? My vote against health care was a commitment to that, and I support the putting back in place the pay-as-you-go rules that worked in the 1990s and led to surpluses. In fact, this past year, I authored the legislation to make the new pay-as-you-go law a permanent law, not a temporary law, and I think that'll have a tremendous impact on reducing the deficit. I support the three-year freeze in non-defense discretionary funding. I don't think we can freeze defense funding at a time of a war, but we can freeze the non-defense discretionary funding. And I support the bipartisan commission to look at how we get control of entitlement spending. Earmarks are less than 1% of the federal budget. Entitlements are over 60% of the federal budget. So I think we really need to pay attention to the most serious problems and the most effective ways to get this terrible deficit situation under control. I think Democrats and Republicans, Scott, have made some major mistakes on deficits, and I voted against both parties when I thought they were being fiscally irresponsible.
Not surprisingly, there is a move afoot to try to take actions that would repeal this health care bill. If that's brought to Chet Edwards, how are you going to feel about the idea of repealing Obamacare?
Well, I don't want to repeal everything in that bill because there are some good provisions in it. I would like to support major changes in the bill, not the least of which is getting control of the cost of that bill. But provisions such as tax incentives for small businesses that go into effect this year to help small employers be able to afford health care for their employees, allowing Blinn College and A&M graduates to stay on their parents' health insurance if they happen to get a job at a company starting out that doesn't have health insurance. I don't want to repeal that. Helping our seniors reduce the cost of their prescription drugs. I don't want to repeal that. So I would not support repeal of the entire bill. I would support, as former President Bush, Bush 41, the head of the CMS, which ran Medicare under President Bush, said what we need is substantial modification of the bill, not repeal of the bill.
One of the things I want to clarify for people is when we talk about small businesses, there are those small business owners who are concerned about the mandatory insurance, but in fact there is a level of small business that will not be affected by this.
Yes, if you have under 50 employees, then the mandate that you must provide health insurance for your employees is exempted. So companies under the size of 50 will be exempted from that.
One of the things that was also in this bill that has not gotten a lot of play but is very impactful here within your district and here in Bryan College Station is also the restructuring of the student loan system so that basically, if you will, the middleman is taken out and the federal loans will basically, or the federal government will basically be providing the loans to students. As I understand it, government money will be there at about 2.8%, but the loans will be given to the students at about 6.8%. I don't know exactly what that does as far as the marketplace today, but that 4% difference, that 4-point difference, is going to help fund this health care bill, as I understand it. What is the 6.8% loan rate for students going to impact here for Bryan College Station?
Scott, the impact is that by saving $61 billion that's provided for loan guarantees to banks who sometimes charge students 8% or more for their student loans, that $61 billion of savings is going to be plowed back into increased funding for Pell Grants that have not kept pace with the increased cost of education. It will also be used to actually lower interest rates on student loans compared to what students have been paying. So there will be billions of dollars of savings for students across the country and a lot of savings for A&M and Blinn College students based on this change in the student loan program.
Okay,
banks can still provide loans to mm-hmm. students. It's just they won't get a government guarantee for 97% of the default on a loan while still they're charging 6, 7, 8, 9% interest on those loans.
Gotcha. Fortunately, I'm just at that stage in my life where I don't have to worry about college loans anymore.
Right.
And finally, I guess, kind of looking to your crystal ball a little bit, there are two schools of thought where this Congress goes now. Are they empowered? Is this a more ambitious agenda ahead, or are people going to pull back a little bit between now and the end of the year as far as new legislation, for instance, with immigration and climate change?
Scott, I will tell you my recommendation is that Congress focuses on two huge priorities that are important to the people, not just of our district, but to the people across this country. One is how to strengthen this economy and improve our job situation, and two, how we reduce our long-term structural deficits. I think most people understand that when you have two wars going on and a deepest recession since the Great Depression, there are going to be deficits. But it's the long-term structural deficits that could do real damage to our country's economic future and our children's future. And we just simply have to get control of that. And I think one of the most important things to help solve that problem with this will be this bipartisan commission to try to come up with solutions for lowering the cost of our entitlement programs that, as I mentioned earlier, represent about 60% of our federal budget.
Congressman Chet Edwards joins us on most Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived later today on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time.
Scott, thank you now.